Well, hello, it's Scarlett, and welcome to Hot in Arizona. It's hot, okay, let's not be silly here. It's hot, but it hasn't been, like, as hot, because the monsoons are still here and still doing what they're supposed to do, which I am loving. But I wanted to talk to you about something a little cooler. We're going to talk about things that involve snow and ice and Antarctica. Have you ever been there? No. No, you haven't. I wouldn't want to go. It's too cold. I mean, I like the heat. That's why I live here. But I came across a story, and I don't know why, but it just struck me as like a funny story and kind of sad at the same time, and I wanted to share it with you. So grab something to drink, find a cuddle buddy, and let's sit down for story time. I'm going to tell you the story of Thomas Poulter. I had never heard of him before. I had no idea that this story was even real. My kids knew. So I'm kind of feeling left out of the loop. Let me know if you've heard it. So Thomas Poulter, way back in the 30s, he was an explorer, right? He was an adventurer. And he had been on an expedition to the bottom of the world in the mid-1930s, and he had nearly died. He was trapped by weather at a remote Antarctic base. And, you know, being a true American, he thought, if this base was mobile, because you know we love our cars, right? If this base was mobile, I would never have been in danger. So he goes and pitches this idea to the Research Foundation of the Armor Institute of Technology in Chicago, Illinois. And he must have been a hell of a salesman, because they were like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So in 1937, they spent 2 years drawing up the plans under his direction. If you know this story, you know you have seen this thing. Oh, good gravy. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, that can't be real. It can't be real. This has to be like a National Enquirer story. But no, alas, it is not. So when Poulter heard that Admiral William Byrd was going to be leading another scientific expedition to Antarctica at the end of 1939, he was like, oh, I got to get money. And he was able to secure $150,000 in funding to get this creation off the drawing board with the government's blessing. They started building it in Chicago in August of 1939, and it was completed in just 11 weeks. This Leviathan, it has a 20-foot wheelbase. Now, think about this. Close your eyes and think, a 20-foot wheelbase. Your car probably has like a 5-foot wheelbase. 20 feet. And a total length of 56 feet. This is one heck of a motorhome, okay? It had two Cummins diesel engines. Two of them. And combined, it was like 300 horsepower. And that in turn spun two generators, which sent that power to four motors, one for each 10-foot diameter wheel. It was amazing. It looked amazing. These motors could push it. This thing could haul, if you were a turtle. It was like 30 miles an hour. The thing is huge. I don't even know what it weighed. 30 miles an hour, but it could go up a 35% grade. It had four-wheel steering. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's where, you know, the wheels kind of move independently there. You've seen it with all the self-parking cars that, you know, you don't have to know how to parallel park anymore. The car does it for you. It could do that. across the snow. Had a 30-foot turning circle. 30 feet, man. Oh, boy. But that was good for its size. But it could also raise and lower its suspension. So theoretically, it could push itself over wide crevasses on its smooth underbelly, kind of like a 75,000-pound penguin, right? The way they scooch across there. But even cooler, I think, is that with that independent articulation, it allowed the craft to tuck its wheels up into the body when it was parked. So these rubber tires stayed warm. I think that is so cute, right? Just tuck its little tires up. Inside, it had a machine shop, a kitchen, a control cabin, a storage room, and of course, living quarters. And it had a crew of five that could live there along. And I guess they had a dog. They had a mascot, so he could live there too. And then all of the other space was taken up by two massive spare tires and fuel, because it not only carried 5,000 gallons of diesel for itself, but it also carried the 1,000 gallons for the plane that was on its roof. Oh my goodness. This thing is just amazing. It really, you got to Google this thing. It's a snow cruiser. The snow cruiser is what they called it. So here it is, right, being built in Chicago in August, right? They finished in, what, November? But it had to get to Antarctica. And that's not really a straight shot from Chicago in this behemoth. So they drove it to Boston. It's like 1,000 miles. They're going to drive to Boston and put it on a ship. Holy cow. Well, just getting it to Boston was a trick because, oh my gosh, they were trying to go over this bridge, and the thing slid off the bridge and got stuck in a stream bed for 3 days. But they were able to get it out and kept going, and it was loaded onto the North Star and sent south to Antarctica. And it finally arrived, I guess it was January 12th, 1940, but it barely got there. They have a video, they have this on YouTube. To get it off of the ship, they built a wooden ramp for it to drive off. And the ramp collapsed under the weight of this thing. So as it's driving off, you literally see the thing start to buckle, and the guys on the top kind of get jostled, and they're holding on for dear life. And as it's going, it's almost like a cartoon. The wood underneath starts to split, and so it's going faster to beat the wood before it can split completely and send it plunging into the icy waters. Well, it was built between August and November, and they drove it to Boston. Now, we kind of think about, you know, November getting into wintry months and whatnot, but it hadn't snowed, so this thing had never driven on snow. Never driven on snow. I mean, there just wasn't time to test it. So, luckily, they landed where they did, and they figured they would start this little journey, and they had to head to the base. And they were just 2 miles to the Little America exploration base. This poor thing, it was completely out of its element. It just did not have the power or the traction. This thing was just too heavy. And the tires were provided by Goodyear. Now, they say that back then they just did not have the, you know, they didn't know about winter tire technology. Okay, To me, it's basic tire technology. When you think, I'm going out onto the snow, what do you think of when you think of tires? What kind of tires do you think that you would need? I mean, you think of snow tires. They're knobby. They grip things. No, not this. Goodyear said, well, let's put some slicks on it. These 10 feet tall tires are completely smooth. You can't do that. You don't get traction. Now, I know you're like, oh, well, you know, some of these dragsters, they have slick tires, but they heat them up. So these tires are literally, the rubber is melting and it's gripping the asphalt. This is snow against slick rubber. You are going to be looking like Clark Griswold when he got on that little tin sled and scooted on down the hill through Walmart. Nobody had tested this. So here you have these massive balloon tires. The only place they had tested it was in Indiana on a sand dune. Completely different. Sand, snow, completely different. Ice is just, oh my gosh. And of course, you know, they said, oh, it goes 30 miles an hour. No, that thing was not going anywhere. There was no way that they were ever going to make it to the South Pole. As a matter of fact, they barely made it across the Ross Ice Shelf. Funny thing, it had better grip in reverse. So that's how they drove it. They drove around backwards when they needed to move it. They had to, you know, this place was like their shelter, their mode of transportation. It was their kind of laboratory. You know, it wasn't like their only transportation. They did have dog sleds and they had a plane. But the plane suffered engine failure. So they were out the plane. Oh my gosh. They even tried to put like spare tires to the front wheels and make it like a proto-reverse dually setup. And so finally in 1941, they just parked it. They're like, you know what? This is it. It's not going anywhere. It just can't do it. Which was kind of sad because Thomas Poulter, you know, his whole intention was it had to be able to move. You didn't want to stay there and maybe get trapped. But the furthest that it went was 92 miles. And it was originally built to travel 5,000. So it's kind of sad. But I just can't help but laugh. I can just picture this big monstrosity just lumbering around Antarctica. Well, unfortunately, they had to pack up and abandon the cruiser because World War II was about to begin. They had found, or I don't know if they found them. I mean, they had stuck these huge wooden poles sticking up around the cruiser. But where would you find these huge poles? These were very tall poles. They had to be because there's constant snowfall, and they didn't want to lose this cruiser. So they put all these poles around it and packed her all up and packed up the tires. And that's where she sat until 1946. And a Navy expedition came by and they found it. And they were like, oh my gosh, this thing is amazing. And apparently it just needed air in the tires. It was still doing great. But they left it. And there it sat again for another 12 years. And in 1958, she was uncovered by chance. An international team spotted those poles. And they dug down and they found this thing. And the weatherproofing had all held up. The interior was just as they had left it. Cigarette butts and all. Unfortunately, it wasn't going anywhere. So again, they had to leave her. Well, Antarctica's ice is always shifting. And several years after that last sighting in 1958, a large chunk of the Ross Ice Shelf broke near where this thing had been parked. So we don't know. We haven't been down there to find her. We don't know if she's still safely entombed on the land or if she went to a watery grave. Kind of a sad ending. It just amazed me, though, that this guy just came up with this harebrained idea. Now, maybe it's not harebrained, because, I mean, honestly, when you think about it, you're like, yeah, that should work, right? And maybe in today's day and age, with the technology and things that we know, we could probably do something like that that would just, like, totally knock it out of the park, right? Because, honestly, in 2017, Hyundai sent a Santa Fe crossover down to Antarctic. And I will say that it did not even go 30 miles an hour. It only got to, like, maybe 20 tops. But there are some cool pictures of that, and it did go wherever it needed to go. Of course, it had knobby tires. I think that would have changed this whole thing. Anyway, so that's my little story about Thomas Poulter and his snow cruiser. I love that people dream these big dreams, right? It really is an amazing looking contraption. Even with the airplane on the top, it's bright red, and you can, again, you can look it up on YouTube, either under the Antarctic Snow Cruiser, or I'm not sure what else I looked up under, but it is pretty amazing. And the pictures, you know, people were obviously pretty impressed by it. The government was impressed by it. Everybody had high hopes. And unfortunately, it just kind of fell short. So that's kind of sad. But that is going to bring us to what is hot in Arizona. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to say, why are we talking about this now? We're going to talk about it now because what I'm going to tell you about sells out quickly. We're going to talk about Little America up in Flagstaff. Yep, Little America we have is in Flagstaff. The Little America we have is not a lab down in Antarctica. But we need to talk about Christmas. Every year, when we lived up there, oh my gosh. Of course, Christmas in the snow is just magical, period. Especially in Flagstaff, because it's not like a lot of snow. It's just enough to make that winter wonderland. And Little America, every year, right after Thanksgiving, they would light the lights. And they would spend all summer putting up just millions of lights on all the trees around the hotel. And the weekend after Thanksgiving, they would have a big celebration where Santa would show up and they would flip the lights on. And it was truly the most magical thing. And being able to enjoy that with my kids is truly one of my best memories. Walking through there and then, of course, meeting Santa. They had all of the gingerbread houses. In the lobby is a huge fireplace. It was wonderful. They don't do that anymore. But what they do is the North Pole Experience. It is different. I think, personally, maybe a lot more fun. But it's something that needs to be done. Like, you need to buy your tickets because this is going to sell out. Little America is a really beautiful hotel. It's an old hotel, but they have remodeled a lot of the rooms. And the North Pole Experience, you buy these tickets and you get on Santa's, I don't know what they call it. I don't know if it's like a carriage or I think a trolley ride. And okay, it's a bus, okay? But they're really cute buses. And then you go through a magic, quote-unquote, portal, and poof, there you are at Santa's workshop. And you get to work in the workshop. You get to be an honorary elf. You get to spend time having milk and cookies with Santa. And it's really a fantastic experience. Little America is on 500 acres, which just blew me away. I didn't really realize it was quite that big, but it is. And there are more than a million Christmas lights all over the trees. And once you get, you know, like I said, you get to build toys and you get to tour Santa's Toy Hall of Fame. You get to attend Elf University and you get to go to Santa's Bakery and you get to, you know, spend some one-on-one time with Santa. They have different packages. You can have a meal and lodging package. You just do a one-night stay. Or you can also have, like, breakfast with Santa. They have a breakfast buffet that is served from 7 to 11. I don't know. Who gets up at 7? I don't know. They should have brunch. Do a brunch. Do a dinner. Something later. But really fun. They have like a photo op with Santa. A really good time. I just think of all those times that we did that when my kids were little. And like I said, that was just, and we did it every year. And you know, I'm always telling you guys, don't spend money on gifts, right? They play with them for a little while. They forget about them. Most of the time, they're not even going to be able to tell you what they got for Christmas. Make memories. Give them experiences. And maybe you do make something like this a tradition. Maybe you save up your money and take the family every year and just make a big splurge of it. The memories are priceless. Now, could you do it in a day and come home? Yeah, you could. You could. But, you know, I used to work for the highway patrol. I do not advocate that. I would tell you to stay. Stay at the hotel. If you don't want to stay at Little America or if they don't have any rooms, stay at one of the neighboring hotels. Don't drive back home, especially if there is snow and it's icy. I'm going to tell you a little story. Yeah, it's a little bit gross, but there are elk. Have you ever seen an elk? Have you seen one up close? They're 1,000 pounds, okay? And they come across, sometimes you'll see one or two cross the road. Sometimes there's 20, 50. Had a semi-truck going down the hill. And a herd came out and he jerked the wheel, laid that semi-truck on its side so it laid crossways across the highway, took out the entire herd. Do you know the mess that was? Oh, it was bad. Stay at the hotel. Get yourself a room. It would be such a beautiful memory to be able to do that. Spend the time with the kids. Go see Santa. Enjoy the beautiful lights on the property. But I recommend, like I said, do it now. They do sell out. And I think you'll really have a good time. It does get a little bit spendy. I'm not going to lie. But again, like I said, memories are priceless. I know my kids, I know they remember those times. And that's what life is all about. Keeping that magic alive, especially when they're little, right? You want to keep that magic alive as long as you can. There's too much horse shit going on in the world. Keep them young and innocent as long as possible. And you can get some of that magic back yourself. You never know. But check out Little America. You can go online, littleamerica.com, and you can read about it and check out the different packages. Sometimes I'm like, oh man, I wish my kids were little again. Now I gotta wait for grandkids. They'll probably change it by then. It'll be something different. I don't know. I guess we can go by ourselves if we want to, right? We don't have to wait for little kids. We're kids at heart. I'm going to tell myself that. Anyway, that's all that I got for that. I did want to mention something. You know, I have lots of friends who they have their own businesses. I mean, look at co-host Kelly. Man, she is, holy cow. She has a YouTube channel. You have to go check out her YouTube channel. Healthy Heart and Happy Soul on a Budget. So check out her YouTube channel. She's going to be showing us how to do fun things on a budget. And I have a friend named Leah. And Leah's an amazing person. She is so cool. I just love her. She has embarked on a new adventure. She is now introducing people to the wonderful world of Malaluca. Have you heard of them? I was interested in them way back in the 80s, okay? It was like mid, late 80s. Oh, God, I'm old. But they had really cool products. And I just, the one thing I remember about, and it was like facial products and stuff. And the thing that, that's what I used anyway. I don't know what else they had. But the thing that I remember the most was the smell. The fragrance was so beautiful. I loved it. Anyway, now they have everything under the sun. And you know we love shopping at home. You know we do. Who wants to go out there? I don't. I don't want to deal with people. And when you shop at home and you get deliveries, it's like Christmas, right? So anyway, I want you to check Leah out. Go check her out. You need to contact her directly. And she'll like introduce it to you, show you what it is. Like I said, I've looked at their products are really very cool. Made in the USA, no harmful chemicals, really good for you stuff. So her name, you know, I'm going to screw up her last name. Luckily, she shortened it. So you can check her out on Facebook. Her first name is Leah, L-E-A, and her last name, she shortened it to just E-C-H-E, Eche. Or you can email her at leaeche@hotmail.com. You can also go to melaleuca.com and you can search for her there. But I think it'd just be easier to just contact her on Facebook or email her and she can send you some info on it and show you all the wonderful products. So go check her out. You know, we got to help out our friends. It's like shop local, right? You know, I'm big on that. Anyway, that's all I got for this week. I hope that everybody has a fantastic week. And I hope you enjoyed our little story about our buddy, Thomas Poulter. That is just wild. Go check that out on YouTube also. The pictures are just amazing. And this poor thing getting off the ship. Oh my gosh. You'll be on the edge of your seat. Anyway, I hope that you have a great week. And I would tell you to follow me on Instagram, but I just hate social media. And I just have not been keeping up with it. I am so sorry. I'll see what I can do. Anyway, have a good week. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.